cliffcentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald here, and Alison Yando also with me. We are going to talk business for the next hour and a half. And yeah, it's our business masterclass, business skills conversation, as we call it, done in association with USB Executive Development. And we have no stranger in the studio with me or with us to do this. Of course, Adam Rabinowitz, you were with us a few weeks ago.
Hi.
He's the chief imaginator of Imaginate, serial entrepreneur, educator, author, and coffee maker. And he's going to join us for today's conversation. But standing in for Richard Angus is his partner at the finance team, Grant Robson.
Yeah, Adrian, thanks. Hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're also a finance guy then, eh?
I am.
More than that. You're a finance guy and you run your own business, you're more than just a finance guy.
Yeah, look, chartered accountant by profession.
Yeah.
But obviously entrepreneurial as well. So,
yeah.
Had a couple of businesses along the way, and TFT is my new baby.
You know what the SME owners out there feel like? You've tasted, all of us in the studio are to some degree. Last week, our conversation was about analyzing your environment. So there's a podcast for that if you want to download that and you're listening to this for the first time. But today is about working on your business as opposed to in your business. I guess both of them are important, but at different phases. I've heard this statement a lot. And with Adam and certainly Grant and then Alice here, we're going to debate that a bit. We're going to have a conversation around this principle. And I think our SMEs must sit up straight and listen, because most of us are so stuck working in our business. It's almost like we work for the business. Maybe we should think the business must work for us. We all want that. That's why we start our little business, so that we can one day have a business that functions on its own and you're independent and quality of life and all those wonderful statements, and then reality strike. And we end up working in the business many years longer than we anticipated. So that's the conversation today. Yeah, let's go for it. I mean,
maybe I can just start off. I think a lot of listeners are sitting out there and going, "Oh, what is the difference? What is the difference between working on your business as opposed to in your business?" So, Adam, maybe you can just give us a 2-minute intro to that.
2-minute intro is like this. So, working in the business is where most people start. That's being employed by the business, whether you own it or not, and being submerged in the operational work, so much so that if you were to describe your working life, it would kind of be 9 to 5. That's like 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock the next morning, and then you wake up and you do it all over again. It's almost like being a slave to the business in a way. Working on the business requires a complete change in focus for a different outcome, and I'll expand more on that later.
Okay. I think from our perspective at TFT, we often come across entrepreneurs that are at a different phase of their growth cycle in their business. And I think at some point in time, you need to spend more time, in the business as opposed to on the business. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I think where the starting point for most of the people that find themselves trapped in that space is that your focus is on servicing customers and simply getting the work done to pay the bills.
Right.
And that takes up all your time. You've got orders to fill, you've got stock to replace, you've got people to manage, and that's what we call working in the business. You've just simply got to be concerned with making things happen. But working on the business requires a different focus, and it takes more work. If I can just give you an example of how that's manifested. When I started my business, I was working a 23-hour day. I was sitting in my living room and servicing customers and fixing programs and writing software. And I'd literally start at 6 in the morning, I'd field phone calls and deal with customer complaints, and I'd finish somewhere around about 1 in the morning, and the next day I'd do it all over again. And this was about when I was about 30 years old, and I remember having my 30th birthday, and all my friends were employed, and they had full-time jobs and wonderful salaries. And there I was, I stood up and I said, "I'm living the dream." Only this wasn't so much a dream as a nightmare. It was horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But then I discovered this concept of working in the business as opposed to working on the business. And I discovered I was prime candidate number one for working in the business. I was a slave to my business, and all I did what the business required. And I gradually started implementing systems to manage and do what the business was supposed to do. So that now, a number of years later, I'm not going to tell you how many years later because it's a bit embarrassing. But now the throughput of the business is thousands of percent more. I mean, this year alone, we increased throughput in one of the sections of the business by 1,000%. and I'm working less. So I think my working day is about a half hour a day maximum on operational things, which is working in the business. Being an employee of the business, I spend about a half hour a day. And the rest of the time, I've got 7.5 working hours a day to concentrate on how to make the business better. And in so doing, I work less, and my customers get more value. And that's, I think, what it's all about.
Is it about finding a way to helicopter view, to fly up and look at your business from the top down, almost like an outsider as opposed to being inside it, and you're just so stuck in there with everything you're doing? And then the question is, when you start a business, you're obviously going to be in the business most of the time, I'm guessing, with a half hour a day on the business, and the other way around if you're lucky. And that should change over 5 years, depending on the kind of business you're in, or 10 years, or 3 years. I don't know if there's a timing, but there's definitely a cycle that says you've got the beginning of the business, in the business. Certain next phase, whatever you call it, it's a little bit more on the business and less in. And then the next phase is 90% on the business, 10% in the business. Is there that sort of formula that we want to look at or not?
I would turn it around and say that right from the beginning, if you want a business that's a solid, sustainable business, you should be thinking of working on the business right from the start.
Okay, so you know, be wise enough. Well, if you know about this principle, great. Okay, yeah. How do I start my business by working on it?
So starting the business, we begin the business by thinking of the product. We come up with an idea. That's what's going to sell. It's going to satisfy some sort of a need. And so we create a business around it, which is more concerned with production and delivery of that particular service or that idea. And we're more concerned with the product and the end product, putting the end product in the customer's hands, than we are in the process of how. So if you look at what the focus is, if you're working in the business, your focus is on what work has to be done. If you're working on the business, your focus is how should we do the work. And so instead of just concentrating on getting the work out there, you're looking at the systems and the processes that you're building, so that those same processes happen reliably, consistently, and predictably each and every time.
Maybe I can just make a comment there. Let's face it, I think as an entrepreneur, when you first start out your own business, you have to spend a lot of time doing things that you don't normally do. So if you're an expert, like you're an accountant, I mean, you've got to become a marketer, a salesperson. You've got to do pretty much everything that needs to be done. And you don't have the financial ability to go and get other parties to come and help you out. So at some point in time, you're going to have to move back a bit, stand back, and employ people to come in there and add value where they are experts. But that does take money. And that's probably a prohibitor for some people.
Yeah, maybe for most, isn't it? Your financial ability to employ, which then means, yeah, and it's maybe different for every business. You really feel your business now needs A, B, and C, but you cannot do it. Now what happens is you become the in-the-business guy.
So I think the problem that a lot of entrepreneurs experience at that stage, and Michael Gerber in the E-Myth calls it the point in the business where the business has grown beyond the comfort zone of the owner or the entrepreneur. Now you have to learn also how to manage people. And most people in their first time employing somebody, or certainly in that first those first few years of having somebody work for you, you're more abdicating responsibility than managing. So if I, for example, were to employ a finance person, I wouldn't quite know exactly what they're supposed to do. So I'd say, come in and manage my finances, and I'd hand it over to them, and I'd hope it was happening properly. But if it's not, I don't know how to check it. And part of the discipline of putting those systems and practices in place is understanding what information you need back from those people so that you can manage the role they do properly, and that becomes part of your system. There's a system for operational work, and there's a system for managing the systems.
What do you think are the disadvantages of spending too much time working in the business as opposed to on the business?
Too much time working in the business, you become overcome with clutter. And I've seen that in some of the ones that I'm consulting to now. I've got some small businesses that are in exactly this state where there's far too much work and disorganization and chaos. And it's going to lead to implosion. The business cannot survive for far too long. So the disadvantages of too much working in the business and not enough working on the business is very simply burnout and crash and burn. The owner will run out of physical energy to be able to handle all the different bits of crisis all the time. And the business simply won't be able to deal with the volume required of it.
So I guess that begs the next question. I mean, where do you go If you are an entrepreneur out there and you find yourself getting bogged down in the details, what is the next step? Where do you move to from that stage to working on the business? How do you take that next step?
The first step, I guess, is to start analyzing what you're doing. So change in focus to what am I trying to get out? In other words, what work has to be done? And start looking at the same process, but in a different way. Have a look at the process that delivers the work. Start understanding what you're doing in order to deliver the products and services you're doing, and start looking at your business as if it were a major corporation. If you were to take this business of yours and create a franchise in another city, how would you take somebody who doesn't know your business and create robust systems to be able to train somebody on how to do exactly the same work that you're doing now? Once you understand what a process is, then you can start working on refining the processes so that it takes less time, and so that you don't drop the ball so many times, that you're able to deliver that reliable, consistent service.
Any good examples of these kind of processes you're talking about?
Well, I can cite Imaginate as one of those examples. So when I first started Imaginate, it was a business that solved a need. So I spotted a gap in the marketplace, and I was producing data for insurance brokers. And my systems were kind of there, but not really. So the result was that our output is supposed to be out by the 26th of every month, but sometimes it would be out on the 27th, sometimes it would be out on the 28th. Billing was also an issue because we didn't really understand how to bill and collect from customers. So we'd always have a big accounts receivable book. When we started going through the processes, the most important one was that our clients wanted data on time. So we started looking at what do we need to do in order to get data out on time, and we started building a system that delivered data consistently. So we started understanding our customers, we looked at what they required, and we built a system that delivered what they wanted on time each and every time. And what we started doing was monitoring our service level. So the most important thing was on-time delivery, and we started counting how many times a year we were delivering on time and how many times we were late. And every time we were late, we'd start analyzing why, go back to the system and try and fix that gap so that it couldn't happen again. And the same sort of thing happened with billing. We were collecting accounts from multiple clients, and it was taking time. So we went and analyzed how that should be reversed or how that could be improved. There was a system in terms of issuing invoices, billing customers, and we went and analyzed that system so that we could reduce time, collect money a different way, and that started saving us time and making us more efficient. At the same time, our customers loved us because what they were getting from us was a far better quality of information. We engaged with them, we understood what they wanted, and as we refined and built these systems, we also built in stronger communications to the customers. So we were working less, our business became more reliable, and our customers became more confident that they were receiving a better service.
Okay, can we just take a minute or two as a panel? Okay, bring Alice's voice in. What are some of the reasons, and I know we've touched on this all over the show, but let's just list a couple of reasons why a business, small business owner would get sucked into working in the business, even 5 or 10 years down the line, they're still working in the business and not on the business. But let's look at really practical. Okay, it could be fast growth. Lucky, I fell with my backside and butter or whatever, and things are just going great, and we're all so busy we can't even turn left or right, and therefore we're all in the business. Before you open your eyes, you know, things go pear-shaped because you haven't been working on the business. But what, just some real reasons. I want them to think, okay, I'm in the business. I thought I'd be working on my business a few years back already. I still have not. What are the reasons? I mean, one simple one I can think of, just to set a pace here, is, I don't know, some people have this wicked myth. We were debunking myths earlier on the leadership show, that when I tell people how hard I work and how many hours I work, there's some status linked to that. And I work 7 days a week, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. It's almost like I dare not say that I work normal hours and that my business is going well. There's a pride attached to that. Does it sound stupid? But I know people like that. They want to say how busy they are. And that's an in-the-business scenario for me.
Sure, sure.
You know, because that also reflects how successful I am, because I work damn hard. And I don't have a... If you want to come see me, I don't have an inch in my diary for you to see me. I really don't. So, wow, you must be successful if you're that busy. And frankly, I know hard work is important, but that doesn't determine your success. So that's one, I think, that a personal thing that makes people fall into that trap of working in the business. I don't know, Alice, any comments?
Yeah, look, I've been soaking up a lot of this information. because I think I'm partly going through a whole lot of these phases myself. You know, I just came out of a corporate situation to start my own enterprise, you know. Hence, I'm not calling it the business, because again, I think business, you can hide and be busy with the business without really understanding what business do you have in your business, if you know what I mean. So I've been listening here, and it struck me that perhaps there's something that needs to be said around defining what the business is relative to you, to your business, about the business. You know, it sounds like we're dealing with semantics here, but I think that these are very important distinctions that have to be made in terms of you as the owner. Are you the business, or the business should be the business? You just handle what is your business with regards to the business.
Is that distinguishing between, I mean, in some consulting businesses, you are the business. Your brain is the business. Your consulting, your knowledge, your wisdom, that's the business. Now, that's difficult to multiply to a point where you don't work in the business but on the business. As opposed to you produce water bottles like this and you sell them. So now I can appoint salespeople and managers for them, and there's a product separate from me. Does that make sense? I don't know if that speaks to what you're saying. I've got to know my business.
But still, even in the consulting world, your consultant serves a certain function in the business. So the business is about getting customers who require your consulting services and fulfilling that demand. At the moment, you are the only consultant servicing that need. But if you analyze it, there's a process of engagement. There's a process of analysis. There's a process of consistently fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing to enhance that customer's world. And there's a whole process of post-customer service, how to go back to that customer again in 2 or 3 years' time to get the business back again, or to be able to consult somewhere else. And at the moment, if you're the only consultant, you're selling hours, and of course you need to be busy. But if your business is to grow, you can only sell so many hours a day. So where does your business grow? And one of the questions that you were asking earlier, and how do you suddenly fall into this disarray where you become a slave to working in the business? As an entrepreneur, of course we want to land that big deal. And it's the winner's curse. Suddenly we do. Now what? Now suddenly you have all this work to do, and you end up working long hours. And you don't really think about how you're doing the work. You just want to get it done. And so what happens today becomes what gets repeated tomorrow. And it may not be the best way of doing it, but it's a way of doing it, and so it works. And so we just perpetuate that.
Yeah, I think those are great points. And just to make another one, entrepreneurs typically, they're control freaks. I mean, they're starting a business. This is not just a job for them. This is their livelihood. So, you know, it's all or nothing. And as a result of that, they have got a lot invested. And they tend to want to control everything. And as a leader, you can't do that. At some point in time, you've got to be able to stand back and trust the people around you to do the work that they're supposed to be doing. And I think if you can't do that, you're in trouble. And the reason why entrepreneurs find that quite difficult is that two reasons. Number one, they haven't trained their people adequately to the level that they want them to perform.
They're not necessarily good coaches or good trainers.
Exactly. Or, quite simply, they've surrounded themselves with the wrong people. And that does sound a bit harsh, but it does happen. You know, and I keep saying to entrepreneurs that I come across, you need to make sure from day one that you surround yourself with the right people. Spend quality time making sure the people that you bring into your business you can work with, they've got the right skills, and they're going to add value to you as an owner and a leader, because you can't do everything yourself. You, at some point in time, to grow that business, you need to lead. And to lead, you need to delegate, and you need to delegate down to people who've got the right skills. So train your people up, or get the right people in.
So another reason why you get stuck year in and year out in working in the business rather than on the business is that control freak syndrome. You want to control everything. And there are different phases.
How ironic, though, is that? Because often, you know, entrepreneurs would take this route, you know, wanting, you know, to emancipate themselves. Yet you know, there's that control aspect that then comes into the picture. I mean, you leave a corporate job because you're tired of being controlled, and suddenly
you become the corporate.
You become the corporate.
Yeah.
Well, people leave for different reasons. I think some for quality of life, and that's a big mistake in, to a large degree. Some do it because they want to generate real wealth. Because in corporate, there's ways of generating real
or
wealth.
Or positive impact, maybe.
Yeah, others for positive impact. Mm. So there's different reasons of leaving it, but the reality strike. And if you don't, and that's the key for me today, Alice, in your situation and all of us, how do you literally, from the word go, create habits of working on the business rather than just in the business? And you said something there that I don't understand, but I think it cottons on to something, is I don't even want to see my business as a business. You know, I want to somehow find a way of always working on this thing, whatever I call it, this morphing entity that's just going to change the world.
Can I say something? Someone I was talking to said, okay, now that you've left your 9 to 5, what...
That wasn't a 9 to 5. I mean, the editor business report is like...
Well, it wasn't a 9 to 5. But the important thing that I'm going to have to come up with is structure, you know, to sort of plan my day, you know, plan what sort of things need to be fulfilled, when, how... And just when I was processing that, I thought, okay, here we go again, because that then implies me being busy, you know, in the context of today's conversation, in the business, then on the business. So how would one, you know, come up with a sort of a framework, instead of calling it a structure, framework, to be sure that, you know, one is able to look at this, you know, to circumvent this. There's pitfalls that we're talking about.
I'd love to add something here. We've got a mantra at Imagine. When I say me, I mean I, because I'm pretty much most of what the business is and does. But there's two mantras that I live by, and one of them is this: everything is up for renewal. So it doesn't matter how good your system is today. When I do anything, or when I follow any system or process, I'm always wondering how this can be different, because my mindset is not this is the way we do things, but everything is up for renewal. The second one is that I'm constantly, even if it takes me 2 minutes to do something that used to take me half an hour, in that 2 minutes I could reduce that to 1.5. So I'm always thinking about how can I work less, at the same time satisfy more customers, and while I'm doing that, give them a better service. So I'm not overworked, I'm expanding my business, and my customers are getting added value. And those two mindsets are the way I approach any activity or any operational task in the business.
Grant, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I think that those were great points, and I can just add, you know, just following on from what we said earlier, it's all good and well being able to, you know, get the right skills into your business, but they have to be managed correctly. And if you can't manage your people correctly, delegate what you need to delegate correctly, you're never going to be able to stand back. As an owner or a manager of a business, that's just not going to work. You'll never be able to feel comfortable enough to hand over the reins in certain critical processes within your company to an extent that's going to make you comfortable to be more of the leader, to be more of the strategist, and guide your business to where it needs to go. So it comes down to the right people. It comes down to the right management of those people, which really is it's critical for
because
the entrepreneur
moment,
to get that right.
Yeah, because the moment the person is wrong, they do things wrong, and that sucks you back into working in the business rather than on the business.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to find the right people today. Let's be honest. I mean, who is really trained to find the right people? You must accept that you're going to employ the wrong people. And at times you will be sucked back into the business, and then you have to make some hard calls. Let's just take a minute or two to build a case for entrepreneurs out there of why you should work on the business in today's world. You can't afford not to work on your business, to go helicopter view, look at the industry, and we spoke about analyzing your environment last week. Alice, remember. I mean, that's really working on your business, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When I analyze my environment, the broader economic, political, the pestle analysis we spoke of last week.
Politics,
yeah,
economics,
environment, social, technology,
legal, environment.
Legal, there we go, pestle, the whole pestle thing. I'm a good student. then I'm working on the business,
sure,
to a large degree. And maybe it's not wrong for, if your business literally now, because I've just happened to employ two wrong people, and I'm stuck in the business, I think one must force yourself maybe every second Friday or something. Put a structure in place that says, I go away from my business, I go and sit in the bush, or I go and sit in the koppie, and I think on the business.
Sure. And just getting out of the office is such a major change in perspective. Working on the business requires so many different facets of angles to look at the business in. So the first place to start is how are we doing things as opposed to what are we doing. The next thing is to start looking at the business strategically to say, where does this business fit in its greater environment? And to look at what the business is doing in terms of where it can be in the next 5 years, whether it's sustainable, what competition is coming around, what new forces are arriving that might threaten the business. So the first port of call is looking at what you're doing to be able to free that entrepreneur up so that he can start taking a higher and more helicopter view. Then once you've got more time in the day, you're working less operationally, you've got the freedom to think about where this business goes in the future. And you can start drawing yourself at a 5-year map, a 10-year map, a 25-year vision.
Because why in 2016 is it important to work on your business?
I think that one of the major shifts that we've experienced is that the customer has become far more demanding and far more savvy. So I don't have to accept your business because I've got access to information about hundreds of competitors.
It's all over. It's just there's too much to choose from, actually.
So if you're not delivering consistency, reliability, predictability, I don't feel confident doing business with you.
Maybe I can just make another point. I mean, it's 2016. Things are moving a lot quicker than they did 10 years ago. So products, services that were working even 5 years ago are not necessarily going to be working now. And if you don't have that time to step back and have a look up and see what's going on around you, have a look and see what your competitors are doing, you're going to get caught short. So it's really, really important that once in a while you need to take stock. Get some experts in. Get some good strategists to come in and have a look at your business. You don't know everything. Nobody does. But so there are good people out there that can give you a heads up and point you in the right direction. And you can make the right decisions and push your company in the right direction.
You know, I'm getting scared here talking about employing someone. Right now, I'm a one-man band, you know, just setting up the structure, you know, and looking to leverage.
Enjoy it.
But at what point, I mean, is it a one-size-fits-all approach to say, you know, at this particular point, then you start worrying about hiring, one or two individuals? And what specs do you even use, I mean, to create those roles? Or is it your gut feel that you have to go with?
Surely the requirement for somebody depends on the demand in the business. So I've been acutely aware of the fact that a lot of the business depends on the work I do. So I've been looking to hire somebody. But every time I think of hiring somebody, I think of what they're supposed to do and I start organizing their job. And as I organize their job, I refine the systems that they're supposed to operate, because really that's their job. They're supposed to operate certain systems to do certain work. And as I do that, so I reduce the job that they're supposed to do, and I almost eliminate the need to employ them. Then I'm back to square one, where I don't have enough work to keep somebody busy. But the demand must come from the work required in the business. So what you're doing is working on the business, saying what should the business, or how should the business be doing the work. And then you're thinking, well, who's the right person to operate the systems that I've now designed?
But it does come down to resources and the availability of resources. I think, as you said right in the beginning, most entrepreneurs have to do a lot of things themselves in the beginning. If their fundamental business model, their fundamental business case is not sound from day one, they're going to fail within the first year. If it is, they will survive and they will make it to year two, year three. And at that point in time, hopefully there'll be enough funds to then take it to the next level. I think that's what we're talking about. At what point in time have you reached the point where I need to grow, I need expertise, I have resources available that I can use? Let's pull the trigger and let's go for it.
Okay, the old man wants to say something.
Speaking from years of experience and listening to hundreds of conversations about entrepreneurship, people, it's been mentioned here, but don't underestimate speaking to experts. You know, you think it's expensive. It's not, because it can save you your whole business. Speak to the experts. They will define sometimes in a short period, discussion for an hour, clarity on the kind of structures you need to build. Don't go necessarily bump your head before you learn how to build these structures.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a friend who's an expert. You don't even have to pay for it. You know, just find experts who know something about your business. That's it. That's the business skills conversation with Adam Rabinowitz of Wits. Bah, Wits. That was a big mistake. Of USB, Ed. And we're so grateful for the association. Of course, you also run Imagine 8 with an 8. It's Imagine and then an 8 at the end.
Correct.
Interesting name. But next up, we're going to interview a small business owner who's actually busy with a very fascinating setup. It's not. I don't think it's your ordinary business. I think we can extrapolate a lot of what we said today into his world. But it's a unique business, and it certainly is one that South Africa needs. So we'll be back with you in a moment, and then our panel will engage him. Following which, we'll talk to our SMEs out there. CliffCentral.com.